Welcome, guys, to the second episode of the Football Coaches Podcast, powered by FBS HQ. We're here today at the WAS Studios, and today we're going to talk about something that's near and dear to me and probably near and dear to every football coach out there. Today we're going to talk about how to run an effective weight room and the importance of an effective weight room. I am Coach S, and I'm here with...
This is Coach Kaysen. Before we really get started about how to run a weight room, the philosophies, our philosophies of the weight room, why it's important, what we feel it makes an effective weight room. It's going to be a pretty open-ending conversation. But before we get there, we want to talk about our sponsors who were powered by, I said earlier, we're powered by FBHAQ. You can go on Twitter, follow it. You can go to Facebook, like it. We just got an Instagram page, so you can go on there and follow that. We're posting new stuff daily on it. We're now actually the Football Coaches Podcast is now actually on iTunes. So we'll have a link in the bio for you. Go and like it, review it, give us 5 stars, comment if you don't like it. If you have criticisms, we'll take criticisms. We don't care. We'll talk about it. I just want to get it further out there. That helps our ranking. That helps where we're at. Gets us more views. But like Coach said, today we're going to be talking about the weight room. To start, I heard before we got to the job that we're at now, we're actually coaching together currently at the same location. Before we got there, the head coach before us, so I was talking to the head coach as I'm getting, I don't know if the word's christening in, but getting the word in of what we're supposed to do, what's going to happen when I got the job. He said the coach before him didn't believe in a weight room. And when I hear that, I know why they were such a bad program before. The weight room is your program.
Weight room is football. Weight room is where your team starts. It's where you start to build chemistry. The weight room is everything in football to me.
I absolutely agree, Coach. The weight room, if you want leaders, go to the weight room. You want to get faster, go to the weight room. You want to get stronger, go to the weight room. You want to get better at football, go to the weight room. You want to create an atmosphere, go to the weight room. The weight room, when you first get there, it is the tone setter. It sets how you're going to have practice. It sets how you're going to act inside the school your kids are. It sets the morale of the locker room. It sets the morale of practices. It sets the pace of practices. It sets everything that your program is going to be, starts and ends in the weight room. The weight room is the most important thing. The only thing when we go to talk today that I think is wrong. I won't tell you what's wrong. You're incorrect very often. But if you say you don't think the weight room's important, I'm going to tell you you're wrong. I'm going to tell you you're absolutely incorrect, and it's the reason why your team sucks year in and year out. Because it doesn't matter if you have talent or if you don't have talent. If you have size, you got a whole line, your whole O-line, 6'5", 300.
Don't matter.
It don't matter if they're weak. It doesn't matter even if they're strong naturally. The weight room builds confidence. The weight room builds aggressiveness. The weight room builds leadership, and the weight room builds explosiveness, and explosiveness is what we're looking for on every play.
So, this episode, the first thing we want to get into is the different type of workouts. Now, there are thousands and thousands of workouts that you can do that you may feel are good, but these are just the workouts that we feel comfortable with and we've seen work in our program. You know, this entire episode here is going to be pretty much what happens in our program. So first, you know, we really want to talk about the different types of workouts. The first one I believe every workout has is your bench and your squat.
The squat to me is the most important workout there is. It functions every single muscle in the body, much like the hang clean does that we'll talk about later. But the squat and the bench, the squat, the hang clean, and the bench are the three most football lifts. They should be your core lifts. The reason they should be your core lifts is because they translate so much to a football field. They probably translate more to a football field than they do to a baseball diamond or to a basketball court. Those three lifts, mainly the squat and the hand clean, but the bench press is important. It creates traps. It creates a lot of things that allow you to, when you shoot your hands into defensive guys and offensive guys, as a lineman, you use it shedding blocks. That is, those three lifts are the most important lifts. And this is a firm belief of me and coaches that because those are your three lifts, this is how you build a weight room or build a weight program. Your core three lifts, the lifts around it, should do is strengthen those lifts. So because you hang clean, you should have a explosive shoulder shrug because that's the beginning of a hang clean. Because you do a bar bench press, you should do a dumbbell bench press. You should do flies. You should do tricep things. You should do a ton of push-ups because that creates functional strength. You should do these things that increase that number up as high as possible. And the squat's the same way. With your squat, you should do one-legged squats. You should do lunges, a ton of lunges. You should do calf things. You should do leg press if you have it, if you have the materials. Realize that this does come down to what you have. What you have as a weight program. All of us, we're not Alabama. We don't have everything. We don't have everything. I know you don't have anything listening to this podcast, because if you did, you would. You wouldn't be listening to the podcast. You have to get the maximum out of your weight room. And what I mean by that is, if you don't have squat racks, then you better figure it out. You better grab 45-pound plates.
And just free weight it.
I'm certain that most of us have squat racks. There's probably, but what we probably don't have, we may not have a drive machine. We may not have one of those jar pressers that where you stand in and you press for the bench press. You probably don't have that. You probably don't have a lot of space because you're funded by whatever county you're in. I mean, you probably don't have the room and the space that you probably need for a 40-man roster. You probably have one for 20, so you have to know how to maximize what you're doing. And the way that we found the best maximize what we're doing is to circuit train. And what I mean by circuit train is you put them in groups of 4, 5, or 6 or how many ever you need, and they will go station by station off your whistle for a workout.
It's so, all based on their weights, pretty much.
Yeah, they do their own weights. I don't want a
guy who can bench 300 and another guy in that same group who can only bench 195. And that takes more time, and it takes longer to have to reset weights and all that good stuff.
Not only that, a guy pushing 195 and a guy in 300 can't push each other. They can't get the most out of each other. That being said, you want to have similar guys in similar spots. And say it's a squat day, you'll have, because you still have to do your auxiliary lifts and different things, you'll have a guy squatting. That'll be one of your spots. You'll have an actual spotter. That'll be your second spot. And then you'll have a rotation. So you're not using the bench that day, so let's use the bar to do barbell curls. Just do bar curls on it. Then we got to work our abs, because our abs increase not only our squat, they also increase our hang clean. They get our hang clean strong because our core gets stronger because you play with your core. So from there, you want either a plank or a wall sit or a
push-up.
Push-up can work as well for your chest. You can have any type of ab workout you want, even if it's sit-ups, even if it's crunches. Put it in there because it's going to make your hang clean stronger. It's going to make your hang clean stronger. Then add a forward lunge, and that right there sums up 5 kids. You have 5 kids doing something all at one time. You can see the 5 kids. You can see if their numbers are going up. You can see if they're struggling. You can evaluate and monitor on the go with that system. And now you have 4 or 5 groups of this. Now you've put 25 people doing something all the time. You don't have people running around and chasing, you think they've right. done weight. And you can't cut weight with the process. If you do a circuit weight training, you absolutely cannot cut weight. There's no way you can cut reps. I don't mean weight, I mean reps. And that's one of the ways you maximize the reps your kids get. Now let's talk about how you determine the weight. Obviously, once you go into that circuit, you're going to do 3 sets of what you're doing. So they're going to squat, and then they're going to do bar curls, and then they're going to do lunges, and then they're going to do their abs, and then they're going to come to spot, and then they're going to go to squat. They're going to keep moving off your whistle and go. And doing that, once they get to their second set, they need to be going up in weight. Correct. I mean, if you want them to get stronger, they got to go. You can't be doing the same weight. That just builds endurance. That just builds lean muscle. We want power muscle. Lean muscle don't win us a lot. Lean muscle wins in baseball. Lean muscle wins in basketball. It does not win in football. You need elastic strength, elastic quick twitch muscle fibers in football to explode either past a defender, through somebody, use your hands. You need all those. You need quick twitch muscles to have those things. So to know if a guy is going up weight, the easiest way for me to do it is if he does, say we're doing squats, we'll stick with squats. We're doing a 10 rep set of squats, and he puts 225 on there. If he can do all 10, he needs to go up. If he can, he obviously doesn't need to go up. He needs to figure out, we need to get to that level. But the second they can do a whole weight, they need to be going up. And by the time they get to the third set, so we ended at 3 sets. You do 3 different rotations of the over and over again. So you go squat, bar curl, forward lunges, abs, spot, squat, and you do the rotation over again. On that third one, he should be struggling once we get to rep 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. Like once we get halfway through it, he should start struggling. I mean, there should be a struggle. If not, you're not getting stronger. You're just doing weight. You're just building lean muscle. You gotta have, make sure these kids, you have to stay on these kids to make sure they're getting stronger. They don't know how to get stronger. If they did, they could do it on their own. We wouldn't have a weight room.
Very true. And the harp on what Coach just said, what a lot of kids don't understand is they think, oh, I did 8 reps, so I'm done. We harp. If you do 8, take a break. Finish the rest of them.
Yeah.
Don't leave weights. Don't leave reps to be out there hanging. Leaving reps, you would not get stronger. So if you only do 5, take a minute. Stand up for a second. Go back and get your 5. Take all reps. Don't cheat them. Kids don't understand that. They think, oh, I did 5. Nobody sees me. So we're going to rotate. Here we go.
And that's where the weight room comes in big, because the weight room is where you can create your culture. You got to get these kids to buy in, not only to the fact of finishing all of them, but if they see somebody not doing, you got to make them realize that they're losing games because somebody else, they can't win a game. None of us can win a game by ourselves. None of our players can win a game by themselves. It's impossible. This is the ultimate team game. So if somebody's cutting reps, they're not going to be at their optimum level to perform when it comes to the actual game. They're going to give you less than. You're going to lose games. That's why we try to create the culture of kids coming to, getting other kids to come to the weight room and then leading them. That creates leaders, and that's another thing that the weight room does that we mentioned on earlier is the weight room creates leadership. The weight room creates the tone. The weight room creates the hierarchy of your program. Speaking on that, it is my personal opinion and philosophy that if the head coach isn't there, and he should be there a lot, he needs to be there a lot. As in, it needs to be important. If it's not important to the head coach, it's not important to these kids. You have to make this an important thing. You have to talk about coming to school every day and making sure these kids are there. Hopefully, you build a culture that these kids won't miss because they have other leaders and other positive influencers in front of them so that they don't miss. But that's, you have to build that. That doesn't come. If you're coming into a program, the program probably wasn't that good before. I mean, the chances of it being a good program that you're inheriting is very, very slim to none. Very, very slim to none. So you got to know how to create a culture. You have to work on creating culture. You have to talk about culture every day in the weight room. Talk about it in the weight room, because you can't just show up on Friday or just show up on spring practice and think it's going to create itself. It is a process every day, day in, day out, to create what you want. If you want your program, what you want in your program, if you want to build something how you want in your program, you start in the weight room. You build it starting in the weight room. Don't build it starting in
spring ball,
because you can't flick it, just hit a switch with these kids. It doesn't happen. It does not happen with almost any kids. Most kids can't flip the switch. And you can't flip the switch as a teacher and as a coach to them if you haven't showed them what you expect out of them on a regular day-to-day basis. Now, I want to get back on. I know I went on a little bit of a tangent, but I want to get back on how to actually run a weight room and how we're running a weight room and how it's succeeding for us. The numbers are going to go up just if a kid shows up and his attendance is very good. The numbers are going to go up. They're growing kids. The testosterone's building in them. They're going to develop. But doing this ensures that your kids are going. It ensures they're going to get the optimum amount of development that you want from a freshman to a sophomore, from a sophomore to a junior. And another thing is when we're talking about making sure you get the most development out of your kids, you got to know how to work a safe weight room.
Got to. Because kids do not know how to live. Kids do not understand the importance of little stuff. What I mean by little stuff is a spotter. Kids don't understand how important a spotter is. You know, and it kind of goes back to earlier, I don't want a kid who's benching 300, you know, and a kid who's only benching 120 spotting him. That's not safe at all. You know, all work fails, something goes wrong, and he's trying to curl a weight that he ain't never seen before. It's kind of impossible, you know. And it goes to trying to create a safe weight room, you know.
You have to create another thing to create a safe weight room is to harp and teach the techniques all the time. What we talk about, when we talk about hang clean, people think it, they see 225 on it and they don't get it. When they don't get it, hang clean is the ultimate technique lift. It is the ultimate technique lift. It's not about having auxiliary strength and having explosion is obviously going to help. But this develops it because it creates the correct technique to explode upwards, to roll the hips outwards, and to finish, you know, unload all that potential energy you had. And it's not a full strength. It is almost completely technique. Once you get the technique down, I've seen kids go from 135 to 225 in 3 weeks. They ain't got 90 pounds stronger. There's no way. The technique has increased. The technique has gotten far better, and that is what's going to create a safe workroom. Because once one kid knows how to do it, if he sees a kid, if you're running a weight room properly with the correct culture, sees another kid doing it improperly, he's going to let him know. He's going to tell him. He's going to point him in the correct direction. And another thing is if you created that correct culture, they're going to know that they're not spewing bullcrap to them, that they're trying to positively lead them, because that guy that's talking to them and trying to teach them is trying to win ball games. He's trying to do the right thing, do it, win the right way, and get stronger and develop the correct way. And that comes in with a goal-minded. We want to set the first thing. I know we didn't start with this, but the first thing I feel like you need to do in a weight room is test all your kids. Test every single one of your kids. Find out what their bench is, what their squat is, what their clean is, what their 40 is, what their vertical jump is, and what their pro shuttle is.
That's all we care about.
Those five, six things are the most football relative things that we can help increase. If they increase those, we're going to get better. Your most athletic guy is typically your vertical jump guy, the guy that has the highest vertical jump. We want to get those numbers up. And to get those numbers up, you squat and you hang clean. It's very simple. You squat and you hang clean. Squat and hang clean is going to bring up your 40, because you're going to create more strength and more ability to unload energy going forward to explode out to get a faster start. Your legs are going to become stronger to hold more elastic relative strength, relative muscle to build longer speed, a faster speed, faster velocity, to go at a faster velocity. Your squat's going to go up once your quads are stronger, once they're built more. I mean, it's going to happen day to day in, day to day out. But you have to, once you get those tests and you know what their number is, you need to go to every player, set a goal for that player. Set a goal, a daily goal, set a PR goal, set a weekly goal, and set a goal to have before we put the pads on. And those can be little things. Those don't have to be, I want to cut 3 seconds off my 40, .3 seconds off my 40, or I want to increase my bench by 100 pounds. It's possible, but it's probably not going to happen unless you have a hormonal growth development, honestly. But setting a team goal keeps everybody in the correct mind state for the direction. Gives your weight room direction. Gives your weight room where it should go, what we're aiming for, and it should, having those numbers should tell you what lifts we need to do to increase those numbers. So it again gives you direction for what you're trying to do, what you're trying to accomplish as a weight room, as a football team, and as a program. You need to know that a thing that we don't necessarily understand as coaches is, and I know I'm taking it into a little bit of a different left turn here, is understanding how to get the most out of a kid. And that what I mean by that is some days the same kid, for example, can go in there and bench press 185 10 times, and then the next week he can't. That's a body thing. It doesn't mean he got weaker. It's because his body's being overworked. We have to understand it. Once we get to that point, we need to have a flexible enough weight room that if we see a lot of people this happening to,
not only take a break,
go outside, do some football skill set stuff, do some agilities, go on the board if it comes down to it. Know that you're not getting anything out of this now today. We've got everything we can out of this today. So now we're gonna even though it's not as much as we'd like, we want to get stronger, faster. We know that you're gonna get stronger and faster by them being confident in what they're doing. So go do football stuff. Go work stances. Go work your concepts, because speed isn't anything if you don't have confidence doing it. That relates into why I think weight room is one of the most important things if you want to be a good tackling team. If you want to be a good tackling team, you have to build confidence. You're not going to be a bad tackling team because you're soft. I know you can't see the air quotes I just did, but because you're soft. Your whole team's not soft. They're not soft. Your players aren't soft. It's not natural for a player to want to run headfirst into a wall all the time. Most kids don't. You're only going to get 3 or 4 of those kids that are like that.
Yeah.
And that's probably a good thing. The other kids, it comes down to confidence. You build that confidence by going through the progressions of tackling. And that confidence also stems from the weight room. Once they see their numbers going up, once they see their numbers competing with other kids on the team, once they see that there's a direction and there's a what you're doing is working, what you're doing is improving not only them but the players around them and the team involved, they're going to become better as a skill set, as a tackle, tackling skill set. They're going to become better tacklers. They're going to become better tacklers because they're more confident, and once you teach them how to tackle, you'll get a lot more out of them.
To kind of talk about a little bit what Coach was talking earlier about a workout schedule, to me, working out more than 3 days, to me, is useless. You know, I've always been a guy, I like going, let's say, Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday. You know, because one thing I always learned is that the body needs rest. You have to rest in order for your body to be able to grow. So working a kid out, burning a kid 4 or 5 days straight for no, it's really for no reason. You know, and like what Coach said earlier, when you start seeing, you know, your players struggle that don't usually struggle, you know, because you've been hitting the weight room hard, there's a time that, you know, you just need to rest. And I don't mean, you know, rest and do nothing, but, you know, maybe take a day and just, you know, go do football stuff all day. You know, the weight room is important, but if you don't rest and treat your body right, your body's not going to treat you right. You know, and we have a lot of kids who believe this, what is it, like Muscle Milk or, you know, all these different type of enhancements, you know, work all the time. They're not great for you, you know.
The most important part of a weight, gaining weight, is to rest. Coach is absolutely correct about that. Because you have to give your body, that's where, it's a scientific process of where lactic acid comes from. What makes you feel sore? I don't know if my audience that I'm talking to is going to know this already, but it becomes from where you overstretch, you tear it just a little bit, you tear the muscles just a little bit, and if you keep doing the same thing over and over again, they never go back and develop strong and ferment from the lactic acid. The fermentation process of how you get sore never really occurs like it should, and that means you aren't getting as strong as you possibly could. That's why, the kid can look great too and still be completely not at his optimum level of strength. And that's the bodybuilder theory. Bodybuilders literally are at their weakest. I don't know if you already know this or not, but bodybuilders are at their weakest strength the day of an event or a show or whatever it is that they're, the bodybuilding competition they're taking part in. And the reason for that is because they've starved themselves to get rid of all the stuff around them to over-extenuate their muscles. They look great, but they probably couldn't lift the bar that day. Like, they have no, their muscles haven't got enough oxygen, enough energy to grow further than what they have. They're fully, completely, everything around them has been destroyed, has been taken away from them so that you see just muscles. And that's not what we're looking for in a player. We don't care to have a bodybuilder. I'd much rather have a 300-pound kid that don't look good and probably don't get a lot of girls but can hit somebody.
But can play ball.
That is explosive and is always striving to do better and is a cultural leader and is a leader of my football team than to have, I know this isn't a good example, but Tyron Smith of the Cowboys looks like a GQ model. Most people don't look like that. That's a one in a million type body type. So I'm not looking for that. I don't care that they're going to get, their biceps are going to get stronger. They're going to feel better. They're going to be able to show people that their biceps are stronger, that their legs are stronger, that their chest is getting bigger, that they're getting sculpted abs and all that. And that helps bring kids to the weight room. Don't get me wrong. That really does. People see that and they want to be a part of that. And that's what you should do. But that's another thing about the weight room is you got to get kids to it. Got to get kids to the weight room to create that culture. Once you've created it with the kids you've got, you got to go get more. We tell our kids that. I talk to them all the time about getting more kids to come out. You can never have enough bodies. The more kids we have, the more chances we have of being successful. The more kids that show up and buy in. If I have 25 that buy in, that's more than I can put on offense and defense. So we're going to be pretty darn good that year. If I only got 10, I may even come down because I haven't built that culture like I have to, and I have to use the kids that I know I can trust. They may play both ways. It's harder to win games both ways. And that's where the weight room, building relationships with your kids, building that confidence with your kids, building the culture with your kids, is why the weight room is absolutely the most important part of your program. And like we said before, even if it is the most important part of your program, but knowing when not to go there is also an extremely important thing. Extremely important to try to do your best to understand your kids. Went to a clinic a couple of weeks ago, and I was taught, and we were listening to the UCF trainer, the UCF strength and conditioning coach, and he said this, and he said what I thought really resonated with me was a great test of whether or not your kids are ready to develop stronger muscles. He said, have them jump vertically, do a vertical jump test, and if they can jump, say they get 28.5, if they can jump and hit the same or more, they're ready to get stronger. If they can't, then you need to lay it back a little bit. Maybe even do lean workout, build the foundation so they can get stronger, or just do football stuff, or do different things to gain their skill set. Do agility drills, do different things so that you're not wearing these kids' muscular development and strength growth completely withered away. Don't overworking it's going to put it in that downslope. Their numbers are not going to go anywhere. They're going to stay very stagnant if you don't understand your kids or try to understand your kids as best as possible. So that'll be pretty much what it is for today. Thank you for listening. So if you want to like it, go on iTunes. I have a bio, like we said before, on iTunes. Go on there. Like us, subscribe to us. You can review the page, make your comments, tell us you love us, tell us you hate us, tell us why, make us better, give us criticisms. Like I said before, you can go on Twitter or Facebook at FBSHQ. You can follow those. That's what we're powered by. That's what runs, pays the bills at the moment. You can go to Insta. We just got a new Instagram page. You can go there every single day. There will be content coming out for that page. We're going to try to create a couple different other avenues and segments and types of things, types of audio, types of content for any type of person that loves football, not just coaching football. This is what this is about, is the Football Coaches Podcast. But a person that probably coaches football also loves NCAA football, probably loves the NFL, probably loves schemes, all that kind of stuff. And we'll get into schemes later as we go, and we'll talk about different things that go on a football field. But we felt this was far more important. The weight room was far more important in what it takes to be a coach, which was our first episode. You can go back there and click on it and listen to that if you haven't already. Why that was far more important than
coming out and talking about cover two.
Yeah, talking about cover two or quarters coverage or gap schemes, or that's, we felt like that was far more important. So that content will be on there every single day. There's new stuff coming out for the draft. There's new stuff coming out for NFL. There will be schemes. We're working on a coaching 101 type of thing for the summer that's going to come out once we hit that dead period where there's no real football going on. The draft's already over. And that is all from us from the WAS Surf Studios. This is Coach Kaysen.
It's Coach S, guys. Thank you for listening.